Hello and welcome to the Florida State of Recruiting podcast. We are the three stars from Tomahawk Nation, and we are excited to talk about Florida State recruiting with you. My name is Tim Allenball, and I am joined by two of my best buds here from Tomahawk Nation. It's Josh Pig. Josh, how are you, sir?
Thankful for you guys, right as Thanksgiving's coming upon us. So doing well, man.
Look at you, Josh, going right for the heartstrings. David, how are you, buddy?
Time to one up. If you're listening to this podcast, we are so thankful for you, because without you guys, we wouldn't have the threads. We wouldn't be doing these podcasts. So if you need a break from family or whatever, we're happy to provide you with a little bit of a respite, but super thankful for you boys and for the Tomahawk Nation community.
Yeah. So we thought we'd give everybody a little bit of a Thanksgiving treat and drop a podcast. So maybe if Uncle Frank is fighting with somebody over a turkey leg, you can take a break. Give us a listen, and we thought we would take a few moments and go through the official Noel through and through David Stout 2022 Tomahawk Nation mock class. That's right. David put together his thoughts with a 1 month prior to National Signing Day, and so we thought we'd go through it. So, David, I'm going to skip all the committed names because we feel pretty secure about those. There's two names I do want to call out. One is offensive lineman Antavius Woody. Tay Woody was kind of flirting with leaving Florida State. David, it looks like he's probably going to stick around. Am I right?
I'll tell you what, there was a time that I was even saying it in the recruiting chats. I thought it was a done deal that he was going to flip to Auburn. Harsin and his gang put together a really good recruiting pitch for him. And I thought it was just a matter of time, but I'll tell you what, Alex Atkins, Mike Norvell, they have worked wonders with him. Travis Hunter, I think, has been in his ear a little bit, as well as Quayshon Sapp and Kenai Charlton, some of the other boys. And it looks like FSU is going to hold off the hometown, I might add, Auburn Tigers, which is a significant win, because it's tough to pull a top, you know, five-star, four-star out of Alabama, but especially when they live so close to one of the two campuses. And so this is a significant victory on the trail for FSU. It looks like Woody's going to stick.
And I do want to call out, you know, the other thing that's probably working in Florida State's favor, which I know, David, you're going to kind of talk about at the end, Auburn's head coach, 1 year there, he might not be there after this year. So that's creating a little bit of uncertainty. So I'm curious what's going to happen there with some state laws that are happening there around Auburn. So we'll see. But you mentioned one other name, Travis Hunter. He had to once again take to social media and let everybody know he is a Noel, despite what was popped up on a Rivals message board with the prediction that he would flip to Georgia. I mean, the guy has done everything that he could possibly do. He shows up at the games. He goes to the locker rooms. He live tweets. I mean, or streams. I don't know what else Travis Hunter can do. He's Florida State.
If I were a Georgia fan, I would be pissed right now, because Georgia is, you know, working. I don't even think Georgia is necessarily trying to flip him anymore at this stage. They're trying to be, you know, the top option should he decide that he want to hit the transfer portal. But these idiot Georgia fans keep making up these posts to get clickbait, I guess. And he has got to be totally sick of this. And so I'll tell you what, man, if I was a Georgia fan, I would be pissed off right now. Like, I know FSU fans are no peaches when they get on the socials and all that kind of stuff, but man, Georgia fans, what are you doing right now?
Josh, I know you wanted to kind of chime in there.
I was going to say, you can almost say that Travis Hunter at this point is a Noel through and through.
Oh, God. Oh, man. Uncle Josh came with the jokes.
He's good.
I'm getting ready. I'm trying him out for tomorrow, you know.
He's ready for the Thanksgiving family dinner. All right, David, let's jump into some names that are not committed, but you're predicting the Florida State. The first one I think you have up on the board is Tyree West, defensive tackle out of Georgia.
Yeah. And so before we get to Tyree, one other thing, one other name I will bring up too is Sam McCall. Somebody commented in the comment section that you know, my confidence has changed a lot on Sam McCall, and it definitely has. I am definitely guilty of going through this whole cycle and thinking that he was just kind of saying the right things, but he was really listening. And then he did confirm that, you know, should an Alabama offer something, he would rethink things. But it looks like Alabama is filling up. It's a wonderful problem to have when they're turning away top talent like Sam McCall and potentially even Earl Little Jr., who we'll get to later, because they have so many defensive backs who want to join their class. But yeah, feel really good on Sam McCall now. I do think he's going to stick. And that's another nice victory for the staff, because a lot of SEC teams have been talking with him, trying to flip him. So good on Marcus Woodson, good on Norvell and Adam Fuller for kind of making sure that he knows he's still wanted here. But yeah, so Tyree West. So this, what a fascinating situation this has become. So this was Tyree West is a name that we've been telling our readers about for months now. But it was always one of these surreptitious kind of back channels under the radar. Hey, this guy's talking with FSU. We have no idea if anything's going to come of this, especially when FSU was 0-4 and Georgia was just curb stomping people. But the coaches have been in contact with him very, very frequently. Their message has not changed. He is now believing in the message, just like the team is believing in the message. And I'll tell you what, it paid off in an unofficial visit where he came to Tallahassee. He was the only one there and he got all the attention. He, you know, I'm sure he got some very nice kudos and all that kind of stuff. And it has resulted in him planning on coming back to campus for December 4th official visit. And we've been telling our readers December 4th looks like it's going to be the last huge recruiting weekend and the staff is going to put together. I'd be willing to bet that the vast majority of the commitments are going to be there. They're going to bring in some big names. You know, Julian Armella is out there, Tyree West. I believe that Daniel Lyons and Dante Anderson are using their official visits. Aaron Hester is using his official visit for that weekend. And so that'll be really, really special weekend for him to come in and get to be around everybody. Two names that I would be shocked if they weren't there would be Quayshon Sapp and Travis Hunter, both of whom have been consistently in Tyree's ear. And I'll tell you, if FSU manages to flip Tyree West, give an enormous credit to Quayshon Sapp, because Quayshon was the one who, when he took his visit to Georgia and people started freaking out, he was literally there sitting next to Tyree West the entire time, talking about FSU. And so this is very, very exciting. Tyree West right now is coded in a lot of sites as a defensive end, but he is going to grow into a defensive tackle position with the athleticism of a defensive end still. And so with that, if he does commit to Florida State, he's instantly your best defensive tackle commitment. And he has a good shot at potentially, depending on attrition, potentially getting into the rotation next year. So this would be a massive flip for FSU, especially from a perception standpoint, because you're literally flipping a five-star talent from the number one team in the nation after going 0-4 to start the season. It's crazy that we're even talking about that.
Yeah, and I've kind of been following West closely, and I was always kind of the opinion, like, you know, there's a lot of talk out there, but unless he comes to campus, like, it's not going to happen. And he was always pro-Georgia, but I think it just turned into a situation where Georgia was kind of like, I don't know if they told him explicitly, but it might have been a situation where you keep seeing defensive linemen commit to Georgia. You keep seeing, and it's like, wait a second. And Florida State saying, we need you. And then that was the message that I took when West came from Florida State after his visit was, Florida State was telling me they needed me, whereas Georgia wanted me and they like me and whatever. Florida State was saying, we need you. And I think that's been a consistent message probably with Marvin Jones and Kevin Coleman, some of these instant impact guys, like, hey, we need you. You guys can be the difference.
Yep, and we'll see what happens. I know, Josh, you and I were talking earlier. There was another defensive lineman that was predicted to Georgia, and he didn't commit to Georgia. Will that have an impact on West? We'll have to see, but as of right now, I think we all kind of have a little bit of confidence there. Next on the list, David, somebody that's been talked about plenty in the last few weeks, it's linebacker Wesley Bissaint. Bissaint, somebody that originally Florida State was really in on and then kind of faded and kind of came to this Florida State-Miami battle. He showed up for the game. He got to see that. He stayed on campus several days. And he's going to announce on December 4th, David, and you've got him in your mock class.
Yeah, I'm sure hoping that that announcement comes from Florida State's campus. That would be pretty awesome if that happened. But yeah, don't let any of the outside noise fool you. Besant is between FSU and Miami. He's entertaining staffs from West Virginia and, you know, a couple other places. But really, that doesn't matter. It's Florida State and Miami. And this reminds me so much of the Terrion Arnold recruitment from last year. For those of you who don't remember, Terrion Arnold, local kid, and just it seemed like throughout the entire season and preseason, he was just looking for FSU to give him any tangible reason to stay home and commit to FSU. FSU couldn't do that, and so he ended up going to Alabama. Besant is pretty much doing the same thing with Miami. It's like he's looking for reasons not to go to Miami, and FSU has given him plenty of reasons not to go to Miami. And at this point, I think Miami is going to fail. They are not going to be able to land him, and he's going to make a business decision, come up to Tallahassee, and I will guarantee you he will be in the linebacker rotation next year.
Yeah. And a couple notes there. We've mentioned it previously, but we got to give some credit to Randy Shannon and Sabbath Joseph, two off-field hires at, Coach Norvell May, but also we got to give some love to Coach Marv, because Wesley has mentioned that Chris Marv has been really big at recruitment. And one really positive note I feel like is Florida State is supposed to, as of now, get the last in-home visit for Wesley Besant. So I think they could really seal the deal at the end there.
Yeah, and that's an important thing that Josh said. We've been hard on Chris Marv. There's no doubt about that. But it is looking like the linebacker class could be salvageable, but at the same time, you just have to wonder if FSU had a dynamite recruiter at the linebacker position, would we even be talking about that? Like, would Wesley be a commitment already? So you just have to wonder in terms of that. But yeah, big props to Sabbath Joseph, Randy Shannon. They have been enormous in this recruitment as well.
Next up on the board is four-star offensive lineman, Florida State legacy, Julian Armella. Dropped his final four this past week, consisted of LSU, Florida State, Florida, and Alabama. Long thought to be an LSU lean after Coach O was let go, then most people kind of felt like LSU was no longer in the picture. Florida State kind of started to get more and more, I guess, momentum. And from what we're hearing, or, you know, I hate to say it, but again, Alabama might be too full. And then it kind of leaves Florida State, and Florida is their coaching staff is just in shambles. And so I think, David, to your point, if Julian Armella is going to commit and sign on early signing day, he's a Florida State Seminole.
Absolutely. And, you know, I wouldn't be as confident had LSU had their replacement coach, you know, in the bag right now. And they may still announce that before he decides to commit. So it is worth watching. But I don't know, man. We've been talking a lot lately about how FSU really has been the victim of just a lot of bad luck and bad circumstances. And you have teams like Florida when they got all the Marshall and Collier and all those boys from Palmetto. Miami benefited a lot from FSU getting Knighton and, you know, other commitments, Harris, I think, or it was, yeah, I think Harris or whatever his name is. And it's so nice that Florida State can actually stand to benefit from instability at other programs now, because gosh darn it, we deserve it after what we've been through. But this is a situation where, you know, Florida, I'll tell you right now, Florida has no shot in hell to land Julian Armella. Alabama looks like it has passed on him, which again, great problem to have, my goodness. But it is, you know, it's been down to LSU and FSU. And, you know, unless LSU makes a dynamite hire and is able to get him on campus, you know, in early December, which I don't think is going to happen, it stands to reason that he's going to commit to Florida State. Now, the key with Armella is going to be, can they convince him to sign early? Because I'll tell you right now, if he commits early, but he decides to sign in February, he will visit LSU officially. He'll be able to go out there officially again because it's a new coaching staff. I mean, he may even choose to visit Florida officially at that point because they'll have a new staff. And so The key is the coaches are going to have to convince him to sign early. If they do that, again, enormous, enormous coaching victory on that front. But yeah, I've said it numerous times. I think he's the most important recruit for FSU in a decade, just based on his legacy status, the position that he plays, and FSU's need for top-notch offensive linemen, and just all the circumstances have fallen right. And I think he's going to be a Seminole.
Once again, David, you speak in absolutes, which concerned me, but I'll allow it. Up next, wide receiver Kevin Coleman, somebody that after the Notre Dame game, I think everybody in the world's like, that kid's a Seminole. Since then, he hasn't been back to campus. He's visited Oregon, which seems to have really had a home run with him. And so we are now thinking this is probably an Oregon-Florida State battle. Currently, you have him in your mock class, but I would say you probably have this one with a little more hesitancy than the past three.
Yeah, this is a significant battle. And again, he took a visit to Southern Cal. They're not in it. Texas is out of it. This is between Oregon and Florida State. And there was a point in time where I was worried that, you know, Oregon may have pulled slightly in front of FSU. They had definitely pulled even, but maybe even slightly ahead. But based on what happened with Micah Pittman, who is one of the top Oregon wide receivers who just entered the transfer portal, Florida State, we found out that Mike Norvell and Kenny Dillingham were the first ones to call Micah Pittman as soon as he was officially in the transfer portal and talked to him. And so that could end up working to FSU's favor in this point. But again, I was speaking in absolutes on this one as well. If FSU is able to get him on campus again before the early signing period, he will commit and likely sign with Florida State. If they don't get him on campus, it doesn't mean that he's going to go to Oregon, but it means that it's going to be more of a fight. But even if that happens, I do still think that FSU is going to come away with him in the end, because he sees the ability that, you know, wide receivers have got to step up, and it really hasn't happened yet. And so he sees the ability not only to play special teams early, but he could very well find himself in the wide receiver rotation early as well at Florida State.
Yeah, and I'm actually a little more confident on Coleman than David is here. I just feel like the staff did an awesome job when he was on campus over the summer and for the Notre Dame game. The staff has done a great job, and I feel like other recruits have done a very good job with Kevin Coleman, and they kind of feel like they're a big group. And so I feel like he's a kid that may or may not be silently committed to Florida State, and Oregon is, quote-unquote, a dream school or whatever, and they've done a good job with him, but I feel like he's Florida State's to lose, and I think he's going to be a Seminole when all said and done.
Yeah, big assist by Travis Hunter in this one.
All right, next on the board, you know, I am Travis Hunter's number one fan. I've shown my allegiance, but if Travis Hunter's 1A, this is 1B for me. It's Marvin Jones Jr. We've been talking about him for a couple years now. We've written several articles about Florida State legacies. This is a guy that you talk about Armella being one of the most important pieces. I think Marvin Jones Jr. Has a chance to be maybe the best player in this class. I'm sorry, Travis. But David, currently you have him in your mock class of Florida State, but this is definitely one that I feel like it's a 50-50 battle at this point.
Absolutely. I think it's truly 50-50 between FSU and Alabama. Alabama is pushing for him. They do have a spot for him. And for whatever reason, people just made up their mind that when Alabama wanted him, he was going to go to Alabama. But he is very much considering Florida State. And the key here, again, we've mentioned it numerous times, but Florida State is not recruiting him as a legacy. They're recruiting him as a top prospect at a significant position of need. And we've said it before, I'll say it again, the best thing that ever happened for Florida State and Marvin Jones Jr.'s recruitment, his name Jermaine Johnson, and he is an absolute dominant force. He is literally providing the template on the field of what Marvin Jones could be. And so this is going to come down to Alabama, Florida State. Some people think that he and Earl Little are a package deal. I strongly disagree with that. I think that they would really like to play together in college, and I do think ultimately they could end up playing together in college. But there is definitely a scenario out there where Marvin Jones Jr. goes to Florida State and Earl Little goes to Alabama. And that's what I'm predicting right now. I would love to put Earl Little Jr. in the class. I would love to do that as a surprise. And it still could very well happen. But the signs right now are still pointing towards Alabama. Now, if Damani Jackson and potentially Denver, is it Denver Harris, Josh?
Yeah,
Denver Harris. Now, if those two guys end up committing to Alabama, or potentially Elias Ricks goes to Alabama, then FSU is looking a little bit better. But yeah, for now, I do have Marvin Jones Jr. in the class, and he's another one. He would be in the rotation right away.
Yeah, and that's another guy that I'm a little bit more confident than you guys on Marvin Jones. I just feel like at the end of the day, he's going to be a Seminole. And we've talked about it since the Notre Dame game, like the template. And you mentioned it again tonight, like Jermaine Johnson, but also Kier Thomas. Like, Florida State's done a great job with two first-year guys, instant impact. They've won the player defensive lineman of the week in the ACC six times this season, including 4 weeks in a row. And you can't – I mean, they're going to be shoving that down Marvin's throat. And another kid that Florida State said, hey, you're in need. You can come in here and play immediately, and you can help turn this thing around. And obviously, you're also a legacy. I mean, they haven't shied away from it, but they haven't made the legacy thing the entire recruitment for Marvin Jones.
Yeah, one day I will live with the confidence that you guys have. You know, it's a personal struggle, but one day I'll get there. But man, it still scares me. Alabama's still Alabama. We'll see what happens. But I would love to see this. One other name to call out here, David, before we kind of start getting in the we're not sure if these guys are going to end up at Florida State, but Daniel Martin, linebacker, it's a battle between Oregon and Vanderbilt. I think, to your point, not to steal your thunder, but you have him in your mock class, but will you still have him in your mock class if he doesn't make it to campus on December 4th?
This is the one that I definitely feel the least confident in. And I debated whether or not to put him in. And it's not because FSU is doing anything wrong. It's just because he doesn't say anything. He doesn't give any updates on his recruitment. He says positive things about each school. But Daniel Martin has said multiple times, I really want to get back to FSU's campus. You know, scheduling conflicts have happened where he wasn't able to make it for a couple of different games. I know he wanted to be at the Miami game. He couldn't do that. Wanted to try for NC State. Couldn't do that. I am confident they should be able to get him. It's not that far away. You know, Tallahassee's not that far away from where he is. They should be able to get him in December. Certainly would be easier to get him in than Vanderbilt, or, you know, he's not going to fly halfway around the country for Oregon. But if they get him in, I do have a good feeling about it. But Daniel Martin is a kid who marches to the beat of his own drum. He's really interested in academics. He likes the allure of playing in the SEC, even if it comes at playing in the worst school in the SEC. But I think FSU has done just about as good of a job as they can in this. But if he is able to get on campus and be surrounded by some of these top-notch players who are committing, or who will be signing to Florida State, I think it could have the snowball effect, and I do think he would join in. But it's a tough call because he just doesn't, you know, we've tried to reach out to him multiple times. None of the sites really can get a good beat on him. And so he's kind of my, not a Hail Mary, but he's probably my biggest guess and unknown at this point in terms of including him in the class.
So a couple names real quick before we call it a night and let everybody get back to their Thanksgiving meal. There's several other names in the article. If you go to the Tomahawk Nation, it's one of our top articles right now where we have the mock draft. But there's a couple names I want to specifically ask about. One is four-star athlete, defensive back, wide receiver, Kendrick Law. Used to be an LSU commit. Now it kind of looks like he's going to go to Alabama. But at the same time, is this going to be a situation where Alabama is just going to run out of room for him?
It could very well be a situation, and I hope like hell that that does happen, because I am obsessed with Kendrick Law's game, his skills, his ceiling is like off the charts good. This kid is special, and I mean, I've said before that Kevin Coleman is like a perfect fit for what FSU wants to do on offense. I think Kendrick Law is an even better fit for what FSU wants to do on offense. He is so talented. And so it could very well be a situation where he does get squeezed out. I firmly believe that if they do have a spot for him, he will commit to Alabama. But if he gets squeezed out with LSU up in the air like it is, I don't know, man. I think FSU could find him falling into their laps, and that would be fantastic. He's a total weapon on offense. A lot of people want to see him on defense and had said that he's going to play corner, but I've always been a proponent of seeing him with the ball in his hands on offense, and I think that's what would happen at FSU.
Is he somebody that can potentially be a wide receiver one? Does he have that much talent?
I don't know that he'd be a wide receiver one, but he is a guy who can line up in the backfield or in the slot or outside. He is, you can put him anywhere on the field. You could even put him in a wildcat if you really wanted to. He's just a kid that wherever he lines up, you get the ball in his hands and look out.
Okay. We talked about Earl Little Jr. a little bit. We'll kind of just put a bow on that. I think he's Alabama's unless Alabama doesn't have room. And the interesting thing that happened today was that Rusty Manziel at 247 put in a crystal ball for Elias Ricks, the LSU five-star defensive back, to go to Alabama, and then I think has since removed it. I don't know if that's Alabama asking and playing some games or what's going on there, but Josh, I think that's definitely something over the next 2 weeks that will get really interesting for Earl Little Jr., just seeing what Alabama's going to do there.
Yeah, and I mean, based on everything he said, like if he had been given the green light, he'd be an Alabama Crimson Tide member in that class right now, because Alabama is the clear-cut number one in its recruitment, and it all depends on who else they take. And as you said, you wonder if Alabama said, ho, 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 don't put in that crystal ball. Like, we want to get Ricks after we land these high school kids. And that wouldn't surprise me at all.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Oh, man, the games that Alabama's playing. All right, a couple names real quick. Five-star safety, Kamari Wilson. I think we've all kind of had him as a pipe dream. I know he's big friends with Travis Hunter, and he mentioned coming back to campus, but this is a guy that's going to Georgia, right, David?
Yeah, he's definitely Georgia's to lose. If he does show up in December, I mean, that would definitely raise some eyebrows, but as long as Georgia has a spot for him, he'll go to Georgia. But I'll tell you this, I've harped on this time and time again, Josh has too. Recruiting has changed. You have to play for second place now, even if you know you're not going to get the kid, because when the transfer portal comes along, these kids are going to remember their first recruitments. And I will say that FSU has positioned themselves beautifully to be a potential destination for Wilson should he go to Georgia and decide that he wants to transfer elsewhere.
The next name, Josh, help me out. It's Thomas out of Niceville. You had to correct me before how to say his first name.
Azariah, yeah.
There you go. Azariah Thomas out of Niceville. He's opened up his recruitment. This is somebody that's in Florida State's backyard, but Niceville and Florida State, just ever since that chemo decommitment, seems to really be disconnected there. David, any thoughts there?
Yeah, I think he's going to stay in the SEC or potentially go to Georgia Tech so he can play with his brother. But, I mean, we'll see. Maybe he's more open-minded to Florida State now that they've had more success. But, I mean, if I was making a prediction right now, I think he's going to stay in the SEC.
I would say Oklahoma is another team to watch in that recruitment.
Okay. Let's talk about Nigel Kelly, former Florida State commitment. Is really enjoying the recruiting game. Where's Nigel Kelly going to end up, David?
Well, all along, we've been very honest with y'all that Nigel Kelly and his mother are very much playing the recruiting game. We are finding out now that it is coming back to burn them a little bit, because I believe that Clemson and Alabama both passed on him potentially being an official visitor. And so, again, if you're going to play those games, you're going to get caught with your hand out sometimes, and you can get burned. And I think that's what's happened a little bit. And so they're going to have to be really careful in terms of how they approach this. Oregon impressed him quite a bit and still likes him a lot and is still recruiting him very hard. So I know a lot of people are thinking potentially Oregon. Some people are wondering if potentially Florida State circles back to him. I don't know. But I will tell you this, wherever he ends up, I would be willing to bet money that he will be in the transfer portal within 2 years.
I'll say this. I wouldn't exclude Miami as well. Close to home, it wouldn't shock me. But I'll say this. If Florida State staff got back in it with Nigel Kelly, I would not be upset in the least bit. That kid is an absolute stud and is somebody that could see the field next year for Florida State.
Yeah, I mean, I think the three teams to look out for there right now are Florida State, Miami, and Oregon.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Miami being the hometown team, Oregon being what impressed them and maybe Florida State kind of being that first love. We'll have to see what happens there. Two other names real quick that I wanted to talk about. I mean, some names just to kind of throw out there that we want to discuss. Thomas Castellanos, I think he's going to stay committed to UCF. Javonte Barnes, a little bit too late. Oklahoma's going to probably secure that one. I wanted to talk about Dante Anderson, who's a three-star defensive end, teammate of Daniel Lyons. He's going to be making a trip up to Florida State. Is he somebody that Florida State would accept his commitment?
I think that his recruitment depends on what happens with Marvin Jones Jr. If Marvin Jones Jr. decides to commit to Florida State, I don't know that FSU would take Dante. They might. I mean, they might take him. He certainly has not developed in the way that many thought he would. This season, he had kind of an underwhelming season, maybe a little bit stiff and limited in terms of athletic ability. But, I mean, it speaks volumes that they would be willing to pay for him to come for an official visit. But if FSU loses out on Marvin Jones Jr., then I could see them giving Dante the green light.
Josh, you have any thoughts there on Dante?
Yeah, and it might be a situation, too, to see kind of who they can get interest in from the transfer portal. And, yeah, we'll see. I don't really see him being a take.
Yeah. The other name to bring up, defensive end, Travion Williams, former Florida State commit. We think he's probably going to end up at one of the Mississippi schools, but also somebody I would tell you that Florida State would love to have committed to their team.
All right. I was just going to say, it's crazy to think about that. They've got Hester committed. And at one point they had Nigel Kelly committed and Travion Williams committed. And there's a good chance they land Marvin Jones. I mean, like, holy moly, but
I know. I think we were calling it defensive end factory at one point. So maybe we changed ourselves,
especially with our guy Boots coming in next year. I mean, like, unbelievable, yeah. But such is life.
David, let's wrap it up with I think you wanted to just talk about how we're finally seeing where Florida State is having the luck that their rivals have had, where things kind of just fallen in their lap.
Yeah, it's really nice to see. I mean, it's always nice to see Florida and Miami in disarray, but it's especially nice to see it when it happens at the same time. And, you know, this happened with Florida when FSU and Miami kind of took a nosedive and Florida had hired Dan Mullen. They really missed a significant window in which they could have built a dominant in-state program in terms of recruiting. They failed. Now it looks like, you know, Florida, I think Florida, whoever they hire as the next head coach, they're going to make sure that they hire somebody who understands recruiting and is a good recruiter. You know, Miami could very well do that as well. But this staff gets it. Florida State staff gets it. They understand to play for second place in the new, you know, recruiting landscape. They understand how to recruit kids. They never, ever get complacent on anybody. You know, something that we've always talked about is they, even if a kid has been committed for over a year, they still recruit him like he's uncommitted. And so I'll tell you, if there is a staff that can take advantage of this and really set themselves up to make a killing in the 2023 class, it is Florida State staff. So it'll definitely be worth watching who Miami and Florida ultimately hire for those roles, especially Florida. You know, if Billy Napier ends up being the guy, he's a hell of a recruiter. There's no doubt about that. But he's going to be playing from behind the eight ball. And this staff has a lot more they can sell kids. And so I am just so proud of them. And again, we just keep saying it's not just Mike Norvell and the coordinators and the assistant coaches. It is also the support staff, the analysts, the student workers are playing a role in this. And so it is totally a team effort. They're all on the same page moving forward. And it has been pretty amazing to see. And I'll tell you what, man, it looks like we're going to set up for a really pretty finish for Florida State. I think that they have totally locked up a top 15 class. There's no doubt that's going to happen. Very good chance that they get inside the top 10. If things break right, you know, obviously it depends on, you know, kind of all the schools in the 11 to 5 range right now, who they add and who they subtract. But I think there's a good chance FSU could hit that 7-8 range, which, coming off an 0-4 start to the season, that is freaking unheard of in most cases. And so it goes to show you what having a strong, consistent message and a bunch of grinders on a staff, it shows you where that can get you.
Yeah, I mean, you said like it's fallen into their lap, and somewhat it has, but it also is just the tireless effort from the Florida State staff, as David mentioned.
So, Josh, I know I always go to close this out, and you'll have one last thing. So before I take us out, Josh, any final last thoughts?
I've said my piece, son.
Okay, son. All right. Well, check us out on Twitter. We're under the 3 stars. Give us a follow, like. I think we hit 500 followers here. We've only had like this for about a month now.
Hey, awesome.
And then check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you listen to your podcast. Give us a subscribe, a like, a 5-star for the 3 stars. And as always, check out Tomahawk Nation. We have the official recruiting thread where David and Josh eat, live, breathe, and tell you how much they love you. And also check out our mock class. Let us know what you're thinking. And as always, keep climbing.